made by the end of the year. So this is really a last minute make or break moment for the administration as they try to intensify pressure on lawmakers.
Claudine Gay will remain president at Harvard after faculty went to bat for her following last week's congressional hearing on anti-Semitism. Professor Ryan Ennis.
One thing we all agreed on was that we didn't think that politicians should be forcing university presidents to resign or to say certain things or something like that. And also, you know, billionaire alumni on Twitter shouldn't be doing that either.
The House Rules Committee is considering the impeachment of President Biden today. California Congressman Pete Aguilar.
It's painfully obvious that they are trying to hurt President Biden politically to help President Trump get reelected.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The push to impeach Wisconsin's top elections official may have cooled for now. Republican Representative Scott Krug tells WISN-TV's Upfront that his committee will not take up an impeachment resolution against Megan Wolf.
We've decided as a committee that this is above our pay grade. We're going to focus on issues that we can deal with and things that we can have good conversations about bipartisanly. Seeing that there's not going to be bipartisan agreement on this, I'd rather move on.
The resolution is still before the Assembly Government Oversight Committee. Another top Republican is standing by fake Trump elector Bob Spindell. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu appointed Spindell. He says the fake electors did not engage in a plot to overturn the 2020 election, even though that's what the fake electors admitted to in a lawsuit settlement last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, December 13th. In Wood County, the Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission public meeting is at 7:30 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10:30 at the Highway Department conference room. The Wastewater Treatment Commission will meet at 1:30 at the Wastewater Treatment Plant. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will meet at 2 at the Waterworks and Lighting Commission conference room. The McMillan Memorial Library Finance Committee will meet at 4 in the McCourt Conference Room. Following that, the Building and Grounds Committee will meet at 5. Grand Rapids will hold their town board meeting from 6 to 8. In Portage County, the Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. at the courthouse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
Packers lose in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were the first to score late in the first quarter, but then let it slip away, losing 24-22 to the Giants. Quarterback Jordan Love lost a fumble and later threw an interception.
Yeah, you know, it was a bad read. Kind of got hung up too long, just held my eyes kind of to the left a little too long. Safety was able to play over the top, and just not a good read, not a good ball.
New York quarterback Tommy DeVito led the Giants on a fourth-quarter comeback. Head coach Brian Daboll.
Yeah, it's his job. Third game of over 100 quarterback rating. Made good decisions, took care of the ball, used him in a run game. Kid's done a good job.
NBA, the Bucks game went into overtime, but they beat the Bulls 133-129. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists.
He was moving the ball, sharing the ball, making the right play.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 28 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 17. Tomorrow, high of 34. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or
have you ever wondered why there's a NASCAR driver statue in this area? It's for Wisconsin Rapids native Dick Trickle. One of the first from the state to make it to the national circuit, Trickle was named the winningest short track driver in history. Along with a statue, he has several races here and across the country named in his honor. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. I don't know where to start, but I'll tell you where I'm going to start. The Supreme Court has unexpectedly agreed to hear Jack Smith's request that they decide the immunity issue involving Donald Trump. Now, what's that all about? Why is it unusual? What's the immunity issue? What's going on here? Here in a nutshell is what is happening. Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, is trying to delay all these cases as much as possible. So if he gets beyond this summer, and if God forbid he's ever reelected, he'll have the attorney general call off any federal case. Then the state cases with Fannie Willis is the only one so far, unless Josh Call indicts him, and he could. Fannie Willis did. Josh Call indicts, I should say criminally charges, under a conspiracy theory as well as individually, the 10 fake electors and Ron Johnson and Fitzgerald and Voss. He could indict, he could charge Chesbrough, everybody that Fannie Willis charged, he could charge. Trump, Giuliani, all of them. He can charge all of them. Now, what Trump's latest gambit was that he brought a motion before Tanya Chutkan in D.C. to kick the case, throw it out, because he said, all of what is alleged here occurred while I was president. He was president, even though he lost in November, until noon on January 20th, 2021. Why did it take 2.5 months to get rid of him when he lost in November? Because you need a transition period for the new cabinet, that kind of thing. And up until Franklin Roosevelt, it didn't turn over till March. It wasn't January, it was March. So you could beat somebody, and then they stayed in office from November to March. It's 4 months. In this case, Trump did a lot of mischief just in the 2 months, a little over 2 months. He refused to have the new cabinet members meet with his cabinet, give them any information. He hid things. He threw things out. He obstructed. He injured the United States. However, on January 20, at noon, Joe Biden became the president. That's why that morning, the morning of January 20, 2021, Trump ordered Air Force One to fly him to Mar-a-Lago instead of his own private flight. Because he could. And it was the last time anybody saluted him. Next time he's liable to be saluted is by a prison guard. But in any event, Trump's point is that I was president. So all this stuff, the insurrection on January 6th, all this stuff was when I was president, technically president, and president has complete immunity. Now, a president does not have complete immunity. The Richard Nixon case proved that. Richard Nixon claimed the same thing. Said to the Supreme Court when he taped the conversations and they conspired to burgle, he was not in on the burglary, he was in on the cover-up, and to harass Democrats at their convention in Miami that year when they nominated George McGovern, and when he burglarized Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office to get dirt on him. He said, hey, I was president. Supreme Court said no. And effectively they said, you are not a king and you are not above the law. And that's what they'll say again here, I think. But what Jack Smith was worried about, and I'm worried about, is that if Tanya Chutkan sat on it, but she didn't, she said, no, you don't have immunity. But if he brings it to the Court of Appeals in D.C., they're lazier than hell. These people are lazy as hell. They'd give a 30, 60-day briefing schedule. They'd bust the March trial date. Then there'd be a responsive brief, 30 days, then a reply brief, 15, 30 days. Oral argument would be set in September. They'd yawn. They'd decide it in December. Jack Smith knew that. So it is possible to bring a petition to circumvent the Court of Appeals, go right to the Supreme Court and have them decide on an expedited basis. And it rarely happens. I mean, the kinds of cases I was involved in, which were civil cases, you know, they might have some complexity, but they were basically fights between two companies, blah, blah, blah. And this very rarely is granted. But here, there's a trial date in March, and Tanya Chutkan has said, I'm not going to move it. Now, how does that work? Let's say that she denies Trump's defense of immunity, which is a joke. It's a joke. Nixon didn't have immunity. Trump didn't have immunity. No president has immunity from committing a criminal offense. Period, end of story. So let's game this out. Let's say the Supreme Court had denied this and it goes to the Court of Appeals. She'll keep that March trial date. Trump would have to go to the Court of Appeals in that case and ask them to stay it, it's called, S-T-A-Y, while they chew on his issue. And they don't have to stay it. Then he'd go to the Supreme Court, stay it. They don't have to stay it. She could try it. She could rule that he doesn't have immunity, which she did. And he could get convicted. But it's cleaner to put a cap on this thing once and for all. And by granting this motion, this is in effect what it is, a petition from Jack Smith, what the Supreme Court is saying is this is very, very serious. This guy is right now the front runner for the Republican nomination. We say he's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know, he lies at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But whatever, this has got to be resolved. Now, they could say he has immunity and overrule the Supreme Court that heard the Nixon petition back in 1973 and four. They could do that. I don't think they will do that. If they wanted to do something like that, they'd lie in the weeds. The six tarantulas are taking a lot of heat. They're tarantulas, and they're taking a lot of heat. And so it's very, very likely, in my view, that they'll rule, and they'll say he doesn't have immunity based on the Nixon example, on the president. Then it'll go back to Tanya Chutkan. She'll hold the trial in March. She'll hold the trial in March. He will come up with some other sneaky appeal. I will bet his lawyer has a heart attack the week before, certified by his own doctor, maybe that strange guy with the long hair. Remember, this guy, slay me. Guy, remember when he said that Donald Trump was the healthiest president since George Washington, that real weirdo? He didn't even look like a doctor. He didn't look like a doctor. Guy comes out, I mean, he looked like he came out of central casting for some villain in a horror movie. And remember, I think he drove up in a limo and stuck his hand out and said, here's my thing. And it wasn't a normal medical opinion. It was, he's the healthiest president since George Washington. Jack, did you know George Washington? Give me a break. Do you know what medicine was like in 1788 when George Washington was elected? Give me a break. These guys kill me. Anyway, there'll be some sneaky stuff. Trump will say, the cardiologist will say, Trump is having heart murmurs and can't come into the courtroom. The only reason he won't say it is if they think that'll hurt him in the presidential race, in which case he'll say Melania does, or one of his kids, or his lawyer. Be ready for any sneakiness. Now, Tonya Chutkan is a good judge. She'll say he has lots of lawyers. So this one, we will weep for him, of course. We will go to his memorial, but bring somebody else on. Bring another weirdo on. But that's what's going on. I think, you know, it's very, very hard to predict in this business, but I think by granting this, I would be very surprised if they did this to just sit on it and delay it in order that the trial not go forward. The tarantulas do that. They will be disclosed as tarantulas, and they have plenty on their plate right now, the abortion case in Dobbs and a lot of other stuff. So I suspect they will get on it. And all they have to do is read the Nixon case, Xerox it, and have somebody type it up with today's faith. That's literally all they got to do. If you are the president of the United States and you commit a crime, this is not medieval England where the king was above the law. The king is not above the law. And I'll tell you what, Trump is not a king. He's not a king. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us reminding Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, the thought occurs to me, if the Supreme Court does the awful and actually says, well, the president's immune, then that would also apply to Joe Biden. Then Joe Biden could actually start doing all the stuff that Trump, you know, fantasizes openly about and take care of all Joe Biden's enemies. And he's not going to do that, but he could take care of all his enemies in one vile swoop. I mean, that just clear the decks of all his enemies and that things would go on. So they're certainly not going to just declare that a president is immune for and can do whatever the heck he wants. Unless they just say, well, it's just Donald Trump that can do that. You know, no other president can do that. It's exclusive to Donald Trump. But I certainly hope you're right.
That's a good point. It's a funny point. Joe Biden's the last guy in the world who would do something like that. He's more like, George Washington wouldn't do something like that. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't do something like that. I mean, come on, give me a break. He would not do it. We know it. And frankly, I don't think the tarantulas are going to say that they're going to overrule the Nixon example and say presidents now have immunity. That's too much. The only thing I am afraid is they'll sit on it. They'll take it away from the Court of Appeals, and they'll sit on it past the March date. That is what I'm worried about. They're going to be sneakier, much, much sneakier, much sneakier. Coming up, abortion in Texas. You're not going to believe it. You probably heard about it already, what the poor woman had to do and what the Texas Supreme Court did. Coming up.
For a long time. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
8-9. An unbelievable decision and set of events in Texas. This reminds me, in a different context, of course, of the Dred Scott decision back in the 1850s that led up, one of the things that led up to the Civil War. This is not the Supreme Court in Texas. This is the Texas Supreme Court, not the U.S. Supreme Court. But this court down there, the courts in these states, are reverting to 170 years ago in arrogance and stupidity and cruelty. I'll give you an example. This is what happened. The woman at issue, her maiden name, or her name rather, is Cox, which was my grandmother's maiden name. I don't know if we're related, I doubt it, but seems like a fine woman, 31 years old, has two children, married, carrying a baby that the doctors have said will die in the womb. And if it doesn't, right when it's born, it'll die. In the meantime, it has a lot of risk to her health, possibly to her life. You know, you can get sepsis. It's a terrible infection. People die from sepsis. And the advice, the medical advice she has is because this fetus is not viable, she would be sterile if she had to deliver it, and it would badly hurt her health, and as I say, could kill her. She looked at this, and remember, Paxton, the crooked, corrupt attorney general of Texas, he's the guy that's under criminal indictment right now, down there for various frauds and briberies. He's also the guy that set up the brief arguing that Wisconsin's presidential vote, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Michigan, but Wisconsin's presidential vote should be overturned because the election had irregularities up here. The Supreme Court gave a decision. I would have given a different one, and I'll tell you what that is. The Supreme Court decision was, you have no standing. Who the hell are you? You're from Texas. Mind your own business. That's basically what they said. I would have said, Paxton, there's one other time in history that Texas objected to Wisconsin's vote. That was in 1861. We voted for Abraham Lincoln. You objected. How did that turn out? Mangy dog, stay out of our state. I don't even want to see you on the streets of Milwaukee in July. I don't want to see you on the streets of Milwaukee in July. Anyway, the clown went to the Supreme Court of Texas, and they put a halt on the trial judge's permission to have the abortion. So the poor woman, Mrs. Cox, went out of state to have the abortion. And why? Well, think about it. These clowns, these largely men on the Supreme Court, okay, we'll have a briefing schedule, 30 days, and then another 30 days. Then we'll have oral, great. Do you understand biology at all? Do you know how more difficult and dangerous it is to do something with a fetus that's dead or dying? Why are we waiting 2 or 3 months? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because you're lazy, you come in late, yawning and burping, you have a long lunch, the hell with you. Nevertheless, she left the state and the Supreme Court, and she had the abortion, the Supreme Court ruled as she's leaving the state, maybe right after she left, that she couldn't have the abortion. In other words, they overturned the lower court. Now, this is an unbelievable statement that I'm going to read you. And it made me very angry to read it, but I'll read it now again. Quote, this is what the Texas Supreme Court said. Quote, some difficulties in pregnancy, even serious ones, do not pose the heightened risk to the mother that the exception encompasses. What had happened is, they said, Ms. Cox's doctor asked the court to authorize the abortion, yet she did not attest to the court that Ms. Cox's condition poses the risk the exception requires. That is as cruel and stupid a statement as I've ever read. Who the hell are these guys to say, well, you know, some difficulties in pregnancy, even serious ones, don't meet the statute? Oh, really? What if she dies? Well, technically, you know, it seemed unlikely. Then they go, here's what the doctor did. This is the cruelest, stupidest thing of all. Her doctor had put in a request as a doctor that she needed to have this abortion and gave the clinical description of what has killed or was killing the fetus. But they said it wasn't under oath. It wasn't an affidavit. That's what a test means. She did not attest to the court. Then they went on with this smarmy, mealy-mouth statement. Smarmy, mealy-mouth statement that said, now, we don't want to have to make these decisions. No, not us. We think doctors should make them, but they have to be in the proper form. And, you know, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's. And there's all this briefing. What's going on in Texas? I got to ask that question. How do these guys get elected? They're elected. How do they get elected? Or how do they get selected? Sometimes they have retention, take 60% to stay in. It's not like federal judges. There is some political involvement. Who in their right mind puts in Dred Scott-type judges? You know, the Dred Scott decision, they basically said a black person couldn't be free. And this poor guy had become free, and they let him be snatched back into slavery. And then they went pontificated about their views on things. Well, that resulted in not by itself, but that resulted in the Civil War. It was one of the contributing factors. Now, how have we reverted to this kind of thinking, where some men on a Supreme Court in Texas, where the doctor's saying that she had to have the abortion because it's an odd trisomy or something, it's a condition. Her doctor gave a very, very good clinical account, said, in my professional opinion, you have to do it. But they said that the doctor didn't attest to the court that the conditions pose the risk that the exception requires. The doctor's not a lawyer. That's a legal conclusion that the doctor is not competent to make, and no court should admit that testimony. It's a legal conclusion. The doctor gives the factual conclusions of the professional. That's what the doctor does. And the doctor did that. And the doctor shouldn't have had to do it. But here's what's happening down there. The court's basically saying, if you hadn't come to us and gone ahead and done it, well, what the heck? But Paxton will prosecute, because he wants to be governor himself, get off his criminal charges, anything that anybody does on abortion, and there's a snitch bounty down there. Texas is a mess. It frankly is not functioning as part of America. And it better start very, very quick. And that better start with beating Ted Cruz in the upcoming election. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And believe it or not, Tuberville is holding up more nominations regarding defense than people had realized.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Secretary of State is calling for a fake elector for Donald Trump to be removed from his position on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Bob Spindell was one of 10 Republicans who signed certificates in 2020 that falsely claimed Trump had won Wisconsin. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski says Spindell is not fit for the post. Spindell has not responded to reporters asking for comment. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meets in a special session today to talk about possibly accepting the funding deal they rejected Saturday. Republican leaders of the state legislature say that was their best and final offer. Among other things, the offer would repurpose about 40 diversity employees in exchange for pay raises for 35,000 UW workers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The debate about where the new jail and law enforcement center will be located in Stevens Point continues. Mayor Mike Wiesa posted a letter summarizing the discussions between the city and the county. He states the city feels there is enough land to build the facility in the existing area downtown where there are other services available. The county has turned down that option, instead increasing their ask of 18 acres of land on the outskirts of the city to 40 acres. Portage County Executive John Pavelski stated in his State of the County that they require wise and responsible decisions to be made in the immediate future. The Wisconsin Rapids Masonic Center is holding a special Christmas event this Thursday, December 14th from 5 to 7. Santa Claus will be at the Masonic Center in a magically transformed wonderland to meet all area special needs children from early childhood through fifth grade with their parents and siblings. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
The Packers lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Giants march down the field with just over a minute left to beat Green Bay 24-22. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You get a Monday night game and a big stage, and ultimately you got to do it on game day.
Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito on keeping calm in just his fourth NFL start.
Of course, I think as a quarterback, you have to stay even keel through it all, you know, because when you're winning like we are now, everything is high, and when you lose, everything's low. So as a quarterback, you have to be able to stay even through it all. I take pride in that. Something that I've grown over, obviously, over time from when I was playing, from when I was five, throughout high school and college, just continuing to grow that part of my game.
NBA, the Bucks at home beat the Bulls in overtime, 133-129. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard with only 14 points, not one of his better nights.
You know when you get to that point where, like, shots you usually make aren't going in, you miss a one that you feel like is easy, you know, you miss a free throw and you're like, man, it's one of those nights.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 28 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 17. Tomorrow, high of 34. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
In
Welcome back to Match the Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Tom of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Good morning, or afternoon, geez. Real quick question. This poor woman who has to go, you know, finds out she has a fetus that will not survive, has to go through all that trauma, and then all what the government is doing to her with all this. You had mentioned it, and I had thought about this before. What about this no snitch thing? Now what happens when she comes back to Texas? Is she going to face even more legal BS because of this?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tom. And here's the thing. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. There's a thing in the Constitution called the Privileges and Immunities Clause. And it's the reason you have a lot of privileges and immunities under our Constitution, but and duties for that matter. But the fact is that you don't need a passport to, say, to fly to Arizona. You don't need an ID card to drive into Illinois. They can't stop you at the border and ask why you're coming and all that. That's because under the Privileges and Immunities Clause, we're one nation, and we all of the states are open to every other state. So the snitch bounty, let's say that somebody, now Texas is surrounded by a lot of complicated and right-wing states, like Oklahoma, for instance. But let's say that she went to the airport and was going to California to have an abortion, and the snitch next door found out and he turned her in. The police couldn't stop her, but he would then say she owes me, or her father who drove her to the airport, or her husband who drove her to the airport owes me 10 grand. That's the snitch bounty. That is so clearly unconstitutional, so clearly as applied to out-of-state travel, so clearly unconstitutional that the worst law student at the beginning of the first year of law school understands that that's unconstitutional. Now, that said, this guy Paxton is deeply criminal. He is under a criminal charge right now for various kinds of fraud, and he will do anything. The problem is a thing called prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion is not identified in any constitution, but what it really means is that a prosecutor has wide discretion to bring charges. And so, for instance, and a lot of people say, well, he's charging me with this, but everybody does it, and so he has to charge everybody or nobody. And that's not true. He can decide who to charge, as long as he doesn't single you out, say, for race or that kind of thing. Now, in this case, if he charged somebody under the snitch bounty, and remember, the snitch bounty is a civil, not a criminal matter. And it's something that somebody could put in for, and then they'd have to go to court, and she might win. She'd have to pay attorney's fees. But if he tried to do, and I think yesterday Joe Madison called with a similar question, and I mentioned Idaho. I don't think that Texas has passed yet a criminal offense of abortion if you leave the state, but Idaho has. I think Oklahoma may have, or else has been talking about it. Certainly Alabama and Mississippi are talking about it. The problem is when you have a corrupt attorney general like Paxton, if he even brings the charge, even if the judge tosses it, even if the judge says, no, the Privileges and Immunities Clause doesn't permit it, that woman still had to pay 50 grand to a defense lawyer to go through the hoops, write the briefs, and the prosecutor has immunity. He has immunity from being fined or having to pay her attorney's fees or anything like that. I've had a number of clients who have been investigated for different things, and we've explained the truth and the facts, and then they haven't pursued, and they say, well, sue the prosecutor. You can't. Don't even think about it. So Paxton has prosecutorial discretion and immunity, and he can force these women to pay large attorney's fees. That's what he can do, even if he doesn't win substantively. That is the problem. And that's why I have no idea who the Attorney General in Idaho is. But if the Attorney General of Idaho tries to enforce the Idaho criminal law, the snitch bounty is a civil law, but a criminal law, and even if he loses every case, he has tormented the woman by bankrupting her on attorney's fees, unless she's very wealthy. And secondly, suppose you have a mom, a single mom who's a waitress, holding down two jobs. And remember, waiters and waitresses, certainly under the minimum wage law, were getting like $2.50 an hour because the expectation was that they'd make tips. So they'd make $10, $12, $13 an hour. But let's say you have a mom who's a waitress, and perhaps she dropped out of high school, and she is facing a life-threatening pregnancy. Fetus is dead. They've advised her that if she doesn't have an abortion, she could die. And Idaho has no exception for the life of the mother, believe it or not. But she could go, what, to Oregon, right nearby, or the state of Washington. But they say that's a criminal offense. My fear is that in addition to bankrupting them on fees, somebody like I've just described will not have the knowledge or perhaps the courage to risk criminal prosecution, even if she wins, and she won't leave the state. The cruelty of these statutes is to bankrupt women or scare them into staying. It has nothing to do with public policy. It has nothing to do with the law. We are in a land of Dred Scott prosecutors and Dred Scott lawyers and Dred Scott judges. And I would have thought that never could have happened 150 years after Dred Scott, 170 years after Dred Scott. But that has happened. Thanks a lot for calling. I want to talk now about what Tuberville is doing. And Schmidt in Missouri is doing it too. Tuberville is holding up 11 flag officers, 4 stars, promotions. And Schmidt of Missouri is holding up 5. He hasn't identified them, but the Senate knows who they are because they're too woke, he says. And by that he means he doesn't want black, he doesn't want female admirals and generals, and he also doesn't want, one of them apparently put something on social media where he said that he liked Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Schmidt didn't like that, so therefore he's stabbing the country. Now, Liz Cheney came out with a statement that has given me made me think about it a lot, because I've said up till now that this rumor that Tuberville did this because he wanted Trump to appoint officers who'd be loyal to him and seize the voting machines is ridiculous, because our military academies are very honest and the people there understand that the civilian control of the military. But I'm beginning to rethink that since he narrowed it to the 11 flag officers. Because if he waits till Trump gets to appoint 4 stars, they're the ones that give everybody else orders. In the meantime, people who are supposed to be promoted to 3-star, those positions are occupied because the 4 stars are 3 stars now. They're going to 4-star. And that means that the colonels and the captains in the Army and the Navy, respectively, they all have different names and ranks, but they're the same. They get paid the same. A colonel in the Army is a captain in the Navy. They can't become 2-stars, either generals or admirals, because the 2-stars are waiting to go 3-star. See what I'm saying? So they've cleverly gummed up the thing. But even worse, here is what has been revealed. And I didn't realize this before. He's also, in addition to what I just said, held up every civilian appointment in the Defense Department that requires Senate approval. Everyone. Case in point, a woman named Mara Carlin. She's leaving and going to academia. She's had enough. She's the acting Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. The top 2 positions in the Department of Defense's Policy Office. The officials in charge of Pentagon strategy are filled by acting officials because this Tuberville won't let them be confirmed. The Senate has been described by Kevin McCarthy as a country club. He said, I go over there, there's nobody around. They're all deferential to each other. He said, the House is like breakfast in a truck stop. These guys all like being part of the country club. Carlin was the one, she's terrific, helped with the modernization of the U.S. force in the Indo-Pacific. That means protecting Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines, Vietnam, Australia, Oceania. She put that together. She's the one that implemented, put together the pact among Australia, the UK, and the US, that partnership. She's also the one that's in charge of Department of Defense relations with NATO, non-NATO countries in Europe, countries in the Middle East, Africa, Eurasia, from 2021. And the fact is that there's something like 150 countries that she's in charge of the liaison with. Obviously, she doesn't liaison with everyone, but she's in charge of the liaison. She assigns who is going to liaison with them. For instance, Romania is in NATO. If Romania calls up, they're not going to get Joe Biden. They're not going to get Lloyd Austin. They're not going to get Tony Blinken. But they will get Mara Carlin, and she will hook up their general or admiral with the correct general or admiral here, and they will report what the Russians are doing on the Danube or what they're doing on the Black Sea and that kind of thing. These people are essential, and crooked Tuberville is blocking them for no reason. So it's not just 11 flag officers and four stars. He is badly hurting us when we are involved in Russia's invasion of Ukraine, trying to help Ukraine defend. He is preventing our best people on the ground when we are involved in supporting Israel after the genocidal, sadistic attacks by Hamas, and working with Israel to eliminate Hamas, but at the same time minimize civilian casualties. Now, this is easily overcome. This business of unanimous consent is a country club image. There are people in country clubs, they think they're Democrats, they think they're Republicans, but when they're in the locker room on the golf course or when they're in the dining room, they chuckle and they take care of their buddies. That's what's happening in the Senate. That's got to change. It's not in the Constitution. Unanimous consent is permitting crooked senators to destroy our national objectives. Unanimous consent can be overcome by 60 votes, but you have to overcome the filibuster. We have 51 votes, assuming that Manchin and Sinema go along. Are there 9 Republicans who are not traitors to the United States, who are not crooked as a dog's hind leg in the Republican caucus? You'd think so. But they're not on this issue. Moscow Mitch won't do it. None of them will do it. Thune of South Dakota won't do it. They all rally behind the country club. Now, Schumer, if he could hold Manchin Sinema, could overrule it with 51 votes and just get rid of the filibuster for military appointments. That's all he has to do. But none of the country club on the Democratic side, even the ones that drove Al Franken out, even them, they won't do it. This Senate is betraying this country. And that is why we're going into two wars with one hand tied behind our backs. Coming up, Caitlin Collins really takes Ron Johnson and takes him down. Wait till you hear it.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Bean.
This holiday season, visit Boot Barn for top quality gifts that pay tribute to the lasting heritage of the West. From handcrafted cowboy boots and American-made felt hats to hand-stitched leather jackets, our in-store experts will help guide you as you shop, assisting with boot fitting and providing complimentary hat shaping. This holiday, share a piece of the American spirit. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I saw an interview, Caitlin Collins of CNN. She's very good. She was interviewing Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, who's now almost a year into his first year of the six-year term that he was elected to in 2022. Tell you what, that was a disaster. There's no reason he should be in the Senate. He's one of the fake electors in his pocket. Michigan. He doesn't represent Michigan. But it's a Mr. Bones routine. Positively, Mr. Pitney. Absolutely, Mr. Bones. This guy, he does Michigan, somebody else will do Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. In any event, he challenged him, and it was very unwise of him to give this interview because he's not good. Remember the last interview that I recall I talked about the other day, some journalist is walking next to me, says, excuse me, I'm on the phone. And she said, no, you're not. I can see the screen. You're not on the phone. I mean, that's a devastating, that kind of stuff. Come on. In any event, Caitlin Collins saying, well, you know, what about this? And the reason why it's unwise of him to have given the interview is because Josh Call apparently has opened an investigation based on that civil settlement where the 10 fake electors all conceded that they did something wrong to overturn the election. They won't do it again. That's an admission. These guys are dead if he brings the criminal prosecution and puts that settlement in evidence. They either get on the stand or don't get on the stand. If they don't get on the stand, the jury looks at him and says, well, you signed this thing. If they do get on the stand, they have to lie because if they tell the truth, they've committed a criminal offense. So they could lie and say, well, I was told it was legal. It's not a defense. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. Shoot a guy, cops arrest you. Hey, I thought it was legal. Well, that's too bad that you thought that because you're going to the who's gal. Now, in this case, Ron Johnson, I don't know what he thought he was accomplishing, but here's how it went. It was really kind of pathetic. He said, it's nothing. Democrats do it all the time. It was fine. Democrats do it all the time. She said, which Democrats and when did they do it? Well, I didn't know I was going to be asked this, so I didn't prepare. Well, hey, what? She wanted your recipe for tuna fish or something? What? Why do you think she was talking to you? You're a U.S. senator. If you say something like Democrats do it all the time, it's no big deal, that it was fine, you should have a basis for saying that. A truthful basis for saying that. It doesn't work on CNN or anything else to go, I forget. I mean, I don't know exactly, but trust me. Oh, really? Okay. Trust me. Democrats do it all the time. It's fine. Trust me. Then she kept pressing him very nicely, but very firmly. And he said, well, she said, where will I find the facts to back you up? He said, it's in the books. That's what he said, in the book. And She said, "What books?" This guy slays me. This guy truly slays me. Democrats do it all the time. It's fine. I don't know which Democrats. I don't know which time. Where can I find it? It's in the books. And then she goes, "What books?" He says, "I don't know. I'll forget. I'll look it up and get back to you." Oh, yeah, he's going to get back to her. He's going to get back to her. Well, it'd be great if it was in the statute books. That would be very nice if it was in the statute books. But I don't care what other book you think it was in. You can't just do this. Now, let me build on this a little bit. What is Josh Call going to do? He has prosecutorial discretion. Right now, the fake electors magnificently have been prosecuted in Georgia by Bonnie Willis, who's not even attorney general. And she went ahead and had the guts to prosecute Trump himself and Giuliani and Meadows and Chesbro and Eastman, all of the mafia that were behind this thing. That is who she went after. This is not a weak woman, believe me, a weak prosecutor. This is a very, very good prosecutor. In this state, I'll tell you what, Josh Call could do the same thing. He could do Trump, Giuliani. He could do all of these people. Chesbro, he could do Eastman. Chesbro is cooperating with him. If Chesbro was smart, he had a lawyer get into an arrangement where Chesbro wouldn't be prosecuted in return for his cooperation. That's not been disclosed. Saw an interview with Josh Call. Josh Call is being interviewed by WSN-TV Channel 12 Milwaukee, the ABC affiliate. And that, by the way, is the affiliate that I represented. I represented that, the radio station, WSN Radio, when they owned it. They since sold it. I represented several of Hearst's Avon Books, Motor Magazine, several of, you know, it's a fine organization. They fine reporters. And the reporter said to Josh Call, "Are you going to prosecute the guy? You going to prosecute folks?" And Josh Call, very mysterious, "I cannot confirm or deny." And that's fair. I mean, that's what prosecutors do. But I'll tell you what, if he does not, this is a very, very dramatic striptease, a dramatic lead up, if it's to no effect. Now, the question is, if he does prosecute, and the Secretary of State just came out and demanded of LeMahieu that he yank Bob Spindell from the Wisconsin Election Commission because he's a fake elector. This is a guy who did it once, and it's like putting Gableman on the Wisconsin Election Commission. Mayhew, just before we went on the air, came back with a statement saying, "I am not going to yank him." They have somebody on there who is a fake elector. And if my inference is right from this interview with Josh Call, there's an investigation going on. But the question is, in addition to Spindell and the others, is he going to prosecute Ron Johnson, Voss, and Fitzgerald? And all I'll say is, if you have a DA, not even an attorney general, going after Trump, Giuliani, and Meadows, go ahead, because it's not as if this is a earth-shattering deal. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and President Zelensky is in Washington now, meeting with Biden as we speak, and the status of Ukraine aid.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Frisco's Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in D.C. today, making a last-ditch effort to convince Congress to approve more aid for its war against Russia. Senate Majority Leader Chuck